Greetings to all of you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I am very joyful and thankful to the Lord for His grace and His mercy upon me, upon our church in Brisbane. Even though the ministry is not easy at all, but by His grace and His mercy alone, that we continue to press on. Also, we do appreciate your prayers and your encouragement, your kind support for our church over the years. And may God bless you all. Before we meditate on God's word, let us turn our Bible to Habakkuk chapter 3 again. Habakkuk chapter 3 again. Habakkuk chapter 3. Let us read all together from verse 17 to verse 19. Habakkuk chapter 3 from verse 17 to verse 19. Let us read all together. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vine, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stones. Yes, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and He will make my feet like high feet, and He will make me to walk upon my high places. To the chief singer on my string instrument. May God bless the reading of His Holy Word. Let us turn to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, our living and true God, how we give thanks unto Thee for Thy goodness, for Thy grace and Thy mercy, for Thy faithfulness, for Thy sovereignty. How we give thanks unto Thee for Thy word, Thy truth, and how we give thanks unto Thee for the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, and the Holy Spirit, our Comforter, our Guide and our Helper. How we give thanks unto Thee for Thy guidance, protection, for Thy blessings upon us. We give thanks unto Thee because it is by Thy grace alone that we are saved, and we can be faithful unto Thee until now. Also, it is because of Thy grace alone. Despite the temptations of the world and of the Satan, all the trials, afflictions, troubles, problems in life, so we give thanks and praise unto Thee. We also acknowledge that we have not loved Thee, feared Thee, honored Thee, served Thee with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We have not carefully read and kept Thy word. May Thou search our hearts and cleanse us from all our sins, our unrighteousness and iniquities, our shortcomings, by the precious blood of our Savior, Jesus Christ. We give thanks unto Thee. Now we meditate on Thy word. with the knowledge that only the Holy Spirit is able to help us see that truth and able to move our heart to receive that truth and to live by that truth, to contend for that truth. So help us. May the Holy Spirit open our hearts, open our eyes, open our ears, and may thou use thy word to touch our hearts. Be gracious and merciful to me and help me so that I may minister thy word to thy people for thy glory. We commit all of us here unto thee in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. We thank God so much for His Word, and from His Word we can know about Him, our Creator and Maker, and we can know about ourselves, and we can know about God's salvation for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. We so give thanks unto God for preserving His Word so that we can be fed, we can be nurtured, we can be strengthened each day, so that our spiritual life may be strong enough to press on despite the attacks from Satan, the trials in life. We give thanks unto God. So my dear friends, the prophet Habakkuk was a contemporary with the prophet Jeremiah, the last prophet before the captivity to the Babylon. And in his days, even though God's people received God's warnings from His servants, the prophets, even many years before, the prophet Joel and Hosea and Amos and Micah and then Isaiah, then Jeremiah and then Habakkuk, but they did not listen to God's word. They despised God's word. They even persecuted God's servants. They put Jeremiah in prison. Even the king Jehoiakim also cast God's word, or rolled up God's word into fire. Very wicked. So Habakkuk lived in those days, and he cried to the Lord. He cried to the Lord. He prayed, and he waited for God's answer. But he did not have patience, enough patience. So we see that in Habakkuk chapter 1. Habakkuk chapter 1, we see that in verse 2, O Lord, how long shall I cry and thou wilt not hear? How long shall I cry? How long? It is really a testing for you and for me when we had to wait God's answer. We had to wait for God's deliverance. How long, O Lord? Surely you and I also sometimes have many questions, how long in our lives. It is a pain for you and me to live among the ungodly, the wicked. We cannot bear with them. It is a pain for you and me to live with ungodly people in our families. I remember when my nephew 10 years younger than I, live with me. And I did not want to hear worldly music, but he just turned on. I had to control him. It's a pain. So it is a pain for you and me to live with, for example, ungodly husband, ungodly wife, ungodly children, or you have to work with ungodly bosses. It's a pain. Sometimes we have to cry unto the Lord for help. And how long, oh Lord? And then the next question, we see that question number 3. Why dost thou show me iniquity and cause me to behold grievance? Why? We also have a lot of wives, many friends. Why? Not only how long, but why? Why does God let this thing happen to me? Happen to my family? Happen to my church? Happen to our loved ones? Why? We should not be surprised, many friends, because we are living in this wicked world, and the heart of man, the Bible says that it is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9. We should not be surprised. So here we see that Habakkuk continue. In verse 4, therefore the law is slack. The law, God's word, is slack, is ignored. So the people in this world do not have a high view of God's word. They ignore God's word. And judgment doth never go forth. For the wicked doth compass about the righteous. Therefore, wrong judgment proceedeth. Wrong judgment, my dear friends, wrong judgment. The first verdict was not in favor for FEBC, and we knew that it was wrong, wrong judgment. So we cannot trust in man, can never. We have to turn unto God and we cry to Him. We thank God for listening to our prayers. Only God alone is able to do His justice, my dear friends, not man. The prophet Habakkuk was a child of God, the prophet of God. He knew God, he believed in God, but he still had questions in his mind, his heart. We see that in verse 12, we see that, art thou not from everlasting, O Lord, my God, my God. He confessed that the Lord is his God and my Holy One. We shall not die, O Lord, thou hast ordained them for judgment. And O mighty God, thou hast established them for correction. So we thank God that God is always sovereign. God is always in control. And nothing happening to you and to me, to our church, to FEBC, is by chance. God is always sovereign. We say that in verse 6, for Lord, I raise up the Chaldeans. I raise up, God is in control. God raised up the Chaldeans, the Babylonians, and he used them as his instrument to chastise his people, because they failed to repent by God's word through his prophets. So, my dear friends, even though you and I still have many questions, how long, whether you are not very well in your illness, how long, oh Lord, shall I bear with my illness? How long, oh Lord, shall I still looking for my job. How long more? Oh Lord, shall I find a life partner? You pray and you pray. How about the prophet Habakkuk when he prayed and when he cried unto the Lord? Which is that in chapter 2. Chapter 2 is God's answer to him. But he was on high alert for what God might answer to him. We say that I stand upon my guard post, and set me upon the tower, and will watch to see what God will say unto me, and what I shall answer when I am reproved, when I am rebuked, when I am corrected by God. So do you and I really and seriously pray to God, and we are on alert for what God might speak to you and me? Sometimes we just pray and then we forget. But dear friends, we are not so serious. We must have purpose, and we must serious when we pray to God. We remember and we eagerly wait for His answer. Thank God so much that God has answered our prayers to deliver the Far Eastern Bible College from her trouble. He really listened to His children's prayer, and His good timing is perfect. And then we see that in verse 2 of chapter 2, and the Lord answered me. It is wonderful. The Lord answered me. That is, that will sort all the questions in Habakkuk's heart and said, Right. So we have God's word now. The vision, and make it plain upon the tables, upon the stone or clay tablets, that he may run that readeth it. But dear friends, God is so gracious and so loving. He does not want his children to be confused about his word. So he commanded Habakkuk to write clearly, distinctly, so that he who is running is about to read it without any confusion. Because our God is not a God of confusion. So do you and I truly believe in God and His grace and His love and His power to give us such a perfect Bible for us, so that when we read it, we have no doubt and no confusion at all? And then in verse 3, for the vision is yet for an appointed time. So we trust in God's sovereignty and His good timing, appointed time. He's in control. We should not be impatient and push God, my dear friends. God's timing is perfect. And at the end, it shall speak and not lie. God's word is true, not lie at all. Though it tarry, wait for it. God asks you and me, command you and me to wait for God's fulfillment of His word, because it will surely come, my dear friends, surely fulfill. It will not tarry. Truly, my dear friends, even though the people of the northern kingdom of Abraham or Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah, even though they did not hearken to God's word, But God's word was fulfilled. Was fulfilled. The northern kingdom was taken into captivity to Assyria in 722 before Christ. But the southern kingdom did not learn the lesson. They did not repent. They did not fear God's warning. So God's warning for them was fulfilled in 586 before Christ, when they were taken in captivity to Babylon. God's word is true, surely come, surely be fulfilled, my dear friends. And we thank God that God's word has been fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. All the details in the Old Testament have been fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we read God's word, we shall know for sure that His word will be fulfilled to the jot and tittle. Why? Because His word is sure and it surely come. It will not tarry. And then Habakkuk understood God's word, God's righteous judgment, not only upon His people, but also upon all the nations on earth. So, what did he do? What does God speak to him? Here we see that in verse 4. The just shall live by his faith. The just. Even the Jews or the Gentiles, the faith, the just shall live by his faith. Not by any kind of faith. When the Bible tells us about faith, we must know that it is our faith in God, the living and true God. Jesus said that, have faith in God. And so our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith, is our faith in God's word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So the church, if you and I want to have a right stand before God, there is only one way. We have to live by our faith in God, our faith in our Savior Jesus Christ, and our faith in God's word. And if we fail to do that, we are not just before God at all. We cannot approach God's word by human arguments or criticism. Why? Because the just shall live by faith. So we should not be deceived by Satan or deceived by Christian scholars with all their arguments and criticism, their questions or their doubts. My dear friends, do you want to have a right stand before God? We have to live by faith in God, in our Savior, Jesus Christ, and in His word alone. And then God revealed Habakkuk, God's righteous judgment upon the wicked. We see five woes in chapter 2. The first in verse 6, we see that woe to him that engrave that which is not his. That is not his, but he wants to take over. Wants to take over. It is not his. A curse for him. Robbery. So we see that Elijah also wanted to take over everything, take over even FEBC, the name FEBC. Does FEBC belong to Elijah? No. It belongs to our Lord. To serve the Lord, to contend for His word. So God rejoiced, my dear friends. And then, second word, in verse 9, woe to him that coveteth an evil covetousness to his house, that he may set his nest on high. Self-promotion. They do not want to promote God, promote or magnify God's word, but themselves. They even lift themselves up upon God's word, and they may judge God's word. They criticize that God's word is not perfect. That is second world to them. Self-promotion. May God help you means to humble ourselves, and only the Lord Jesus Christ, He must increase and I must decrease, and we shall be blessed. And the third woe, verse number 12, chapter 2. Woe to him that buildeth a town with blood, and establishes a city by iniquity. They use oppression, they use violence to achieve their purpose, their aim, their goal. They use violence and oppression. We see that FEBC has been oppressed so much. But God preserved her. And then in verse 15, woe to him that giveth his neighbor drink, that putteth the bottle to him, and maketh him drunken also, that thou mayest look on their nakedness. This is immorality, pornography, immorality. Woe to them. To those who live in sin, immorality. And the last one in verse 19, woe unto him that said to the wood, awake, and to the dumb stone, arise, it shall teach. This is for those who worship idols, idolatry. And we know that anyone and anything that may control you and me above God, above God's word, it is an idol. Do you and I really submit ourselves to God and to His word alone? So when Habakkuk understood God's word, the just shall live by faith, and God's righteous judgment, even though it may tarry, it may delay, but surely all the wicked, all the ungodly shall be judged by God. And then what happened in verse 20, chapter 2, but the Lord is in his holy temple, he is always in control. Holy temple, let all the earth keep silence before him. So if we understand God's sovereignty and his righteous judgment, we shall have no more questions in our heart and our mind. Sooner or later, the wicked, the ungodly will be judged. We just keep silence before God. And then in chapter 3, this is Habakkuk's response to God's word. We see that in verse 2, O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. Was afraid. He trembled. We see that in verse 16, when I heard, my belly trembled, my lips quivered or tingled at the voice. Rottenness entered into my bones, and I trembled in myself. So in Isaiah chapter 66, verse 2, the Lord says that to this man will I look to, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembles at my word. Not doubt, not criticize, not question, but tremble at my word. So do you want God to look unto you, to bless you? We have to tremble at his word. But nowadays, my dear friends, when we preach God's word, the people do not want to hear. Oh, I want to hear another pastor. He is about to give a lot of interesting stories. I do not want to hear God's word in these last days. They even do not tremble at God's word. May God give you and me a heart that fears God. And when we read God's word, we have to set aside all our pre-understanding, pre-knowledge. And we just pray, O Lord, have mercy upon me. Speak to me. If we have a teachable heart when we approach the God's word, God will teach us and reveal His truth unto us. And then what else? Tremble at God's word and pray for God's revival. And then in chapter 3, verse 2, O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known. In wrath, remember mercy. We pray for God's revival. The work of the Holy Spirit is prominent in the hearts of all believers, because only the Holy Spirit is able to help you and me to love God, to serve God with joy, to overcome ourselves, overcome temptations, overcome Satan, overcome all our trials. Only the Holy Spirit is able to help you and me, my dear friends. We have to pray for revival. And next, my dear friends, also our trust in the Lord. Now Habakkuk could see God's sovereignty, God's righteous judgment. And then he said, in verse 13, Thou waitest for the salvation of thy people, even for the salvation with thy anointed. Thou wounded the head out of the house of the wicked, by discovering the foundation unto the neck. So he trusted in God. God surely saved his people, and he surely judged the wicked. And then what else? He rejoiced in the Lord, my dear friends. The three verses we just read. Although, my dear friends, although no more material blessings, although no more fruit, no more flock, no more herd, no more material blessings, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Do you and I still rejoice in the Lord when we have no job, when we just lost our job? It's not easy, my dear friends. It's not easy. It is easy to say, but it is not easy when we are criticized, when we are oppressed, when we encounter a lot of troubles and trials in life, even temptations. In the New Testament, God even commands you and me to rejoice in Him. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Keep on rejoicing in the Lord, not in the world, in the Lord. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16, rejoice evermore. Also a commandment in the present tense. Keep on rejoicing. So do you and I rejoice in the Lord? Even though we have no material blessings, what do you think and what do you feel when your loved ones, your children, whom you love so much, they are not happy to see you, they are not happy to meet you, Or they only rejoice when you bring gift or present to them, and then they do not want to salute you or to greet you when you hand nothing for them. My dear friends, God loved you and me so much that He gave His only begotten Son. Do you and I still rejoice in Him when we have nothing? What do you think and what do you feel when those who you love so much do not want to read your letter to them, are not happy to read your letter to them? How about our God, and He has written His letter to you and to me, and we just ignore it? We have grieved the Lord so much. Even we have failed to honor and to thirst for God's word. The psalmist says that I rejoice at thy word. So may God help you and me to rejoice in the Lord and to rejoice at His word. God knows that a joyful heart is very vital for you and for me. Very vital, vital. We are living in this world, and surely we have stress in this world. When you are working, for example, the teachers, surely they have a lot of stress due to rebellious students. Or when you are working in the ungodly environment and a lot of work upon you, you are stressful. Or you may be so worried about a lot of things. Stress, worry, fear, sadness. All these things will harm your health and my health, my dear friends. This is not good at all. Please turn to Proverbs chapter 17. Proverbs chapter 17. Proverbs chapter 17. Proverbs chapter 17. Let us read on together verse 22. Let us read on together verse 22. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit cries the bones. My dear friends, a merry heart, a joyful heart, does good like a medicine. Why do you and I let the world trouble us? If we keep our heart joyful and happy, it is good like a medicine, my dear friends. Surely God's word is true. And all the stress, all the anger, vengeance, bitterness in our heart, all the worries will harm our soul, also our physical body, my dear friends. So may God help you and me to be wise and rejoice in the Lord. So how can we have God's joy in our heart? So when you and I, we feel very bored, we feel very lonely, we feel very sad, what should we do? Instead of turning on the television, opening a newspaper, or going out with friends, or doing our hobbies, or doing many things that we like to do. Let us seek God, dear friends. Seek God. He is able to give you and me His joy. His joy. Jesus says in John chapter 15, verse 11, he said that these things I have spoken to you, that my joy, not worldly joy, my joy, Jesus' joy, might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. My joy. So we do need God's joy in our heart, and we have to seek Him, my dear friends. If you are bored, if you are sad, and you seek for anything else, you miss God's lessons, you miss God's blessings. And then in Psalms 16, verse 11, in thy presence is fullness of joy. So if we confide ourselves, you try. When you are bored, lonely, or you are stressful, just try. Confide yourself in your room and kneel down, pray. Seek God and seek God's word. And He will honor you. He will fill your heart with joy, the joy that no one can take it away. The joy that the world, no one else, nothing else can give it to you. Even though you have high position or you have a lot of money in the bank, those things cannot give you joy, my dear friends. But even though you are poor, uneducated, but you have the joy of God in your heart when you seek God first. And then next, my dear friends, here we see that we have to do it personally. I, not we, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in God of my salvation. We receive God for ourselves. God is our salvation. And then verse 19, the Lord God is my strength. My strength, not our strength, my dear friends, my strength. It means that we have to depend on Him. When we say that the Lord, our God, is our strength, is our life, is our power, it means that we have to depend on Him. Like the branch on the vine, we depend on Him. We look unto Him. We trust in Him moment by moment. He's our strength. And the joy of the Lord is your strength. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 9. So we need God's strength, my dear friends, to rejoice even in our trials. And then what's next? And He will make my feet lie high feet. He will make, not yourself, not myself. God will make our feet like high feet. High is female deer, very swift. She can run freely, swiftly, very quickly, very fast. And she is not bound to anything. Jump here and there, very fast. So God is able to set you and me free when we choose Him as our joy. Seek Him first. God will set you and me free, so that we shall not be enslaved to anything in this world. If you and I are still enslaved, are still bound to the things in this world, we cannot jump here and there spiritually. We cannot be quick in the service of the Lord. Then what else? He will make me to walk upon my high places. He will make me to walk upon my high places. So when we are still on earth, but our heart is in heaven, we have living fellowship with the Lord. Usually when we pray, we come to God before the throne of grace, before His presence. But we should keep our heart, our spirit there. Even though we are working, we are studying, my dear friends, but our heart is there in high places. to maintain a living fellowship with the Lord. And God is able to lift our heart, our spirit up, my dear friends, so that you and I shall not be crushed by trials, by stress, by worries, by doubt. But we are lifted up by His grace and mercy. Let us turn to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6. Ephesians chapter 2. We can read verse 5 and verse 6. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5 and verse 6. Even when we were dead in sin, has weakened us together with Christ. God has weakened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And has raised us up together with Christ. This is not in the future, my dear friends. And made us, and has made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So, my dear friends, when we are living in this world, in this troubled world, a lot of trials, we may lose even material blessings, but we can rejoice in the Lord. And God is able to lift our heart up, our spirit up, and He is able to fill your heart and my heart with His joy. Do you and I appreciate Him and choose Him personally? The Lord, our God, the Lord, God is my strength, is my salvation, is my joy. And so we thank God for His word and for the experience of the prophet Habakkuk. You may have a lot of questions, how long and why? But look unto the Lord. He is in control. And He will judge on the ungodly and the wicked. They cannot escape in His appointed time. When we pray to the Lord, let us remember what we pray to Him. Remember and wait for His answer. And when we hear God's word, let us tremble before God's word, as God's word. God will look to us. The just shall live by faith alone. And then we pray for God's revival. We need God's strength, God's life, God's power. But we trust in God's salvation for His people and God's righteous judgment upon the wicked. And then, my dear friends, rejoice in the Lord. Always keep on rejoicing. It is good for you, for me, for our health, spiritual and physical health. Rejoice in the Lord always. And we can do this, we can experience this when we seek Him. Do not seek the pleasures of this world. Seek Him and receive Him personally. The Lord God is my salvation, my strength, my joy. And He will make you and me free from the bondage of sin or the things in this world, so that we can freely jump here and there, run fast in His service. And He is about to lift our heart, our spirit up to have fellowship with Him in heavenly places, in His presence, even though we are still facing trials. So may the Lord bless you and me. Let us turn to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, how we give thanks unto Thee for Thy grace and Thy mercy upon us, for giving us Thy Son, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, and Thy Word. May Thou forgive me when we fail to rejoice in thee. When we murmur and complain because we have no spiritual blessings, may thou forgive us when we fail to rejoice at thy word. We do not read thy word with trembling, with joy. Thy letter to us. May thou help us to trust in thee, to trust in thy sovereignty. Thou wilt surely judge the wicked and the ungodly, and thou wilt save and bless thy people. Help us to live by our faith in thee, in thy word. Help us to rejoice in thee always, and personally choose thee as our salvation. May thou make our feet like the hard feet, so that we are not enslaved, we are not tied to the things in this world. May thou lift our heart up on high, so that we still keep our living fellowship with thee, even though we are still present on the earth, with trials, with problems, with the hatred, the opposition, the persecution of the people of this world. But we may rejoice in thee. O Father, we commit all of us unto thee. May the love of our Father and the grace of our Savior Jesus Christ and the communion, the fellowship, the power, the guidance of the Holy Spirit be with each one of us until our Savior Jesus Christ comes again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you very much for your attending. May the Lord bless you and keep you.